back again. We're back with James Anderson, who is the naturalist for Marion County. And you're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble. And let's see, I've got to turn the right buttons. Here I'm supposed to be an engineer for the guy on Sunday, and I can't even figure out what I'm doing here. You were number four, I think you're on. So
the purple.
Oh, you're purple. That's right. You're absolutely right. And you're on the air now. So
awesome.
Hey, now, we were talking about
birding.
Birding. And how my biggest problem with birding is I have a little pair of binoculars, but they, you know, bring the view in a considerable amount.
Yeah.
But I struggle. Oh, okay, I'll see the bird, I'll look at the bird, I'll put the binoculars to my eyes, and then I can't find the bird.
Yeah.
What do I do?
So I sometimes struggle with that as well at times, but what I always tell people when you're in those situations, slowly bring up the binoculars.
Bring them up.
So when you're, so we'll say the binoculars are hanging on your neck,
yeah.
You know, you have a tire whip, then bring them up to your eyes, slowly lift up, because the problem is when we whip them up real quick, then we're out of focus.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of times the bird is, you know, in our mid view, but we're up high or we're too low.
I do quite often go too high.
Yeah, and I struggle with that too. So yeah, again, just slowly lift them up. And I always recommend people practice at home, you know, even if it's your most common species, like a robin or a blue jay.
I like looking at robins and blue jays. Yeah. Go ahead.
But so, because the more time you practice, you know, obviously the better you're going to be. Because, you know, when you're out at a nature preserve, a park or whatever, especially in your forest settings, you know, it's hard to find them, especially, you know, if they're hiding in the leaves or hiding in the branches or what. But yeah, that's always a tip I always tell people.
Now, you have classes in that, don't you?
We do, yeah, yeah.
Are you going to have one soon? I may need to get out
there.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll be having our birding watch program, so.
Okay, well, we're going to go over your programs here toward the end of the show, so remind me where. When you're going to have that. Excuse me, I have a hiccup now.
Oh, that's all right.
And I have not been drinking, so...
That's good.
I don't know why I have hiccups. Okay, now, what type of binoculars would you suggest? I mean, mine are like... I think they say they're 20 times or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So they're
pretty mild. They're not very long.
So those two numbers, the first number represents the magnification. So how close that object's going to look to your eye.
I think mine is 220 or something.
Okay, like that. And that second number is the diameter of the... of the lens of your binocular.
So that would give you more field of view.
And that, and also how much light will penetrate into your binoculars. Oh. But that, and that's the other thing, to what you just mentioned, because when you're smaller numbers, problem is that magnification, so it'll look further away, and then that second number, they'll look very dark. Obviously, that diameter is going to be a lot smaller, so it's going to be harder to find it through that piece.
Yeah.
I'm not saying those are bad binoculars, but I would recommend if you're going to use those kinds, do it on really, like, open yard.
Yeah, well, and that's like, the only type of binoculars that I can find. I have a camera binocular.
Okay.
But, boy, it's really hard to find through those lenses.
Yes, and unfortunately, the bigger numbers that you go, unfortunately, the binoculars get bigger and heavier. So,
and they're harder to see through because your hands shake.
Yes.
At least it seems to emphasize that.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely, you know, practice at home. You know, practice, you know, lifting your binoculars.
Would you suggest, especially for an older guy like me, would you suggest getting like a monoped or...
You could.
A single... You don't need a whatever those
a things. Tripod?
You don't need a tripod, but if you get a monopod, you can...
So what you would want to invest if you're going to go that route is call a spotting scope.
A spotting scope?
Yeah, scope. And there's some that have that monopod, and there's some I've bought and I have tripods. But I always recommend spotting scopes are really good for water birds, so out in lakes and ponds.
Uh-huh.
I have seen people use it in a forest setting, but the problem is you got to adjust your pod, or, you know, your tripod or your monopod versus out in the lake. As long as, you know, you're in that proper adjustment, you know, you don't really have to adjust it as often.
I struggled to explain to my wife how Well, I don't know. I assume all binoculars are the same way. You bring them up to your eyes, yeah. and you look through it, and if it's a little blurry, there's
a focus
yeah. in the middle, and you focus until it's not so blurry, but you may see in one eye it's still blurry, and you can focus the... Usually it's the right eye, I think. You can actually focus the individual
yes.
eye.
Yeah.
And once you get it all set... Now, I would assume, does that mean... Once you get it set for, I'm looking at a robin that's 50 feet away, is it set for a robin that would be 100 feet away, or do I have to readjust that?
You may have to readjust.
Oh, that's not fair.
Just depending on which binoculars you're talking about. Now, okay. the more expensive, the more of the special setting.
Well, I got mine free, so.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I do have a good set. I'm sure they're good, but they're like... 60 years old.
Okay.
They were my father's. Now, has there been a big change in them in that time period, or are they pretty much the same thing?
I would say there have probably been some minor adjustments.
Yeah.
Obviously, the...
ease of use.
Yeah. Probably the material that they're obviously making the binoculars from.
But overall... Lighter. Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, they're basically the same.
So, what... magnification would you recommend for just generally watching for, let's say you go out to the tall grass trail and you want to watch the eagles out there by the lake.
I would recommend an 8x10. That's a kind of a beginner's.
Okay.
I have a 10x26.
That sounds a lot more powerful.
Yes, yeah, a lot more powerful. Obviously, it is a lot larger, and probably kind of like you were mentioning. You know, at the beginning, it's fine, but then when you're out there for hours, you know, your arms do shake a little bit.
They're getting heavy.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, now I used to when I was in athletics, I was in charge of the press guys, and especially in field events like football. They would come out with a 600 millimeter lens.
Oh, wow.
And it was huge. And I don't know how they all had monopods for those
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them, but most of them. Do they have things like that for bird watchers? Things that will bring a bird that's a mile away right down on your lap? if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Because I would just mention that obviously with those numbers getting bigger, I mean, yeah, you can get a bird that's a long, long away, and it'll feel like it's right up close to you.
Now, I assume the higher the number, the higher the price.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's just like brands. You know, there's I know Nikon does it, Cabela's.
Bosch and Lomb is the one I always remember from the old... That's what my father's
okay.
was. And that's a really old name in binoculars. I'm
okay.
Sure. Yeah, you don't know it, obviously.
No, I don't. I know, but it sounds fascinating.
Well, it used to be the Nikon of
okay.
the 1950s.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was very famous. Okay, well, I think we've solved those problems. Well, I'm not sure we've solved the problems, but I feel better knowing that I'm not alone out there. I like my little tiny, they're not 2x20, they're 3 or 4x20. So the,
okay.
What's that little number?
So the first number is the magnification, and the second number okay. is the diameter.
So the magnification, if it's a 4, it's bringing it in
and four times.
Okay, I got you. Okay, so it's not too bad, but it's, you know, it helps me look at my cardinals.
Yeah.
Now, why is it hard to see? Well, we've got a caller, and I'll ask you this after that. Let's go to the phone, and if I can figure out what I'm doing here, hang on. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah.
Can I ask Mr. Anderson,
sure.
Is a 20x50 binocular real good?
Oh, yeah. That would be a really good one for shorebirds. That'd be great for lake birds, birds of prey up in the air. Those would be a really good set for those types of birds.
So that's bringing it in 20 times closer.
Yes.
That way.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's what that means, 20 times closer.
Yes.
To you.
And what's the other number? 20 by what did you say?
50. It's the diameter of the lens.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means it'll bring more light in than my 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. And help broaden your view.
Got it. Got it.
Because I'm older, it's harder to see, you know, when you're looking.
I'm with you, and that's why I'm asking all these questions. I'm older, and, you know, as you get older, it's a little hard to hold on to something that weighs 3 or 4 pounds.
Yes.
Steady.
Yeah.
I got good arms and all that, but I can hold things up a long time. I'm 82, Glenn. I've been up to your station doing
yes.
stuff.
Okay.
And candy and different things.
I remember you. Yeah.
But that shows just like this. Man, I'll tell you what. I like to listen to somebody know something about nature.
I do too. Thank you. That's why I love having him on. Now, I wish I was as smart as Charlie was. Charlie could ask him really good questions. I'm not as smart.
You know, Charlie was well-versed, though, in so
he
many
was.
Things.
Oh, he was.
He was.
Very knowledgeable.
I miss him. You know,
oh, I do, too.
We all miss
nice
him.
Guy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for the
well,
time.
Thanks, yeah, thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Wonderful. And you can call in, too, if you have questions for James Anderson, the Marion County Naturalist. The number here. You ready? You got your pencil out. You got your paper out. Okay, you ready? Here it goes. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We've had several calls today.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people are getting ready to get out and look at nature, I think.
Oh, yeah. You can get out right now and see all kinds of things.
And now we've been given the go-ahead by our federal government. Biden's folks have said you can go out in groups, smaller groups outside without wearing a mask even.
Oh, okay. On national parks?
Yeah, I don't know about national parks. National parks probably still have mask rules.
But, okay.
He said, I guess it was Fauci said, you can go out in small groups out in nature and not need to wear a mask as long as you're with people that have been vaccinated.
Oh, okay.
Which is fantastic. I've been vaccinated. Have you gotten your vaccination?
I have not yet.
Oh, you're a bad boy. I'm going to spank you.
Well, my deadline, the time I could receive it was just a couple of days ago, so okay. I haven't made an appointment yet.
And now it's been opened up all the way down to age 12, so your son doesn't quite fit.
No.
Now, they're working on that, though.
Yeah.
And they've found that as they've opened the age up lower and lower, they're finding that the younger people are the ones that are coming to the hospital. So obviously,
yeah.
They need to have everybody done. But anyway, I'm looking forward to going out in nature so much because we've been penned up here.
Yes, absolutely.
We have another caller. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Glenn, I'm calling back.
Oh, that's fine.
Mr. Anderson, when you're on a side road, is it against the law bringing binoculars up to look like deer across the field or different places? I heard one time you wasn't allowed to do that. Is that true or not true?
You know, I have not heard that before. I mean, I know during the hunting season, I know, you know, the wildlife officers can, you know, question you and all that. But, I mean, I've pulled off the road to look at not just deer, but other wildlife as well.
Well, now, James, you know exactly where I'm going to locate this because you're from that country. There's a little convenience store down on 33 about just past Logan.
Okay.
And it's on the left side as you're heading north. I was at that I was driving on 33 about to that convenience store, and there was a guy sitting in the gully right in front of that convenience store aiming his weapon across the road because there was a deer in one of those fields.
Oh,
that
yes.
is against the
yes,
law.
Yes, that is against the law. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But for binoculars, I don't know the law about that, but I don't think it would be a problem.
I can't imagine, yeah.
Now, I could probably see if you're doing it at someone's house or what, then yeah, they could probably say, oh, you know, you're stalking me or what. Or,
yeah.
Well, I'm kind of in town here, and I try to look at different birds and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I'm not nosing. I don't care what people do, and I'm like an animal. I ain't going to hurt no animal.
Yeah.
I love animals.
Yeah.
I love them more than people, really.
Yeah, me too.
Because all they're looking for is something to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and the way we are today, the American people, we're pretty bad to each other. I mean, most of the time.
Unfortunately.
It's shameful, but I just wonder because I've got a couple pairs. I carry a pair with me now and then. I bring them up in town here.
Okay.
And I, you know, I'm not checking on anybody. I don't care what people do.
Yeah.
You know.
I would think if you're going to sit at a particular location and just look around you, and let's say there is a house that you might be looking at, not because you're looking at the house, but you're looking at critters behind the house, I would guess that it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to tell the owner of that house, hey, by the way, I'm going to be watching for killdeer out in your backyard or something like that.
Well, I think the next thing I'll do, I'll just call our old department and see if I can find out.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Call us and let us know.
Yeah, I'd be curious about that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Ian. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's something to think about. I never really thought about that.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And I imagine there would be people you might frighten if you're out there looking around with binoculars.
Yeah.
Because what are you looking at?
Yeah. Now, like you know, around Tallgrass Trail, Big Island Wildlife Area, I could see that being very, you know, practical because of all the wildlife. But, yeah, in a downtown environment, I'm not sure what the rules would be.
Definitely don't drive your car while looking through binoculars. Now, it wouldn't surprise me that there are people that have done that, but don't do that. Well, now, out on the Tallgrass Trail, there are a couple of roads that go across the trail, and you do
have to
see
a
little, and I imagine, you know, there probably might be people that would pull up on that road and watch the pond right there.
Oh, yeah.
What is the name of that road that goes across?
Her Road.
Yeah, on Her Road. That, and they might get out their binoculars to watch critters.
Well, actually, during the wintertime, sometimes the short deer owls kind of hang out sometimes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Not all the time, but sometimes. But we would, you know, pull off on the road and we would watch them.
Have you seen any fawns lately, yet?
Not yet. They should be arriving here shortly.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Usually about mid to late May is when a lot of the does will be having fawns.
Now, is there a lot of deer motion right now because of, are they in rut yet?
Or? No, rut's in the fall. So,
okay,
yeah,
are they...
So the breeding
season
is going. Are the
boys looking for the girls?
No. That's
in the fall.
Yeah, that's in the fall. Okay. So now during this time, they're kind of solitaries, or they're kind of out, you know, by themselves. Especially those big bucks, they'll kind of stay low and hunkered, and they will actually bed down for a good chunk of their day. And
is that right?
They'll actually just go out, just looking for food and water for a little bit, and then they'll go back to their deer bed.
So their activity basically is mama taking care of the fawn.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Yes.
I would assume that baby fawns aren't really quite aware of what traffic can do to them.
No. they might have to learn the hard way.
Yeah, that would be terrible. Now, do animals learn about roads?
I would say, you know, for the most part, some do. Some probably still have no
learn
idea.
The hard way, yeah.
Yeah. Vultures, it seems like you'll come across vultures, and you've probably driven by, they'll be smart, and they'll move away, and then they'll some right at the last minute, like, oh, no, he's going to hit me, and then they'll fly in front of you.
Yeah, it always drives me nuts. And doves do that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, doves do.
Always.
I've hidden a couple doves doing that before on accident, and I felt awful when that happened.
Now, I have a dove call on that app, and I played it, but didn't get any doves to come get mad at me or anything. So, so I'm looking forward to seeing some fawn. Now, we go down to Delaware State Park, and that's where we camp. Now, I sold my camper.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So we will not be, because we weren't able to camp.
Yeah.
And even now, I'm sure my wife would not feel comfortable going in and using somebody's bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
So we might just drive down there. They know us because we've been there so many times. They'll let us drive through the campground. So we'll go down and take a look because there are lots of deer in that area.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love going down there and looking at deer. And they're so sweet and everything. I don't think, though, you want to get real close to a buck when he's looking for a girlfriend.
No, they get a little aggressive.
I think I told you the story about when I was young, we saw a deer, a female deer, by the side of the road in Glacier National Park, And I asked Dad to stop, and he stopped, and I got out, and I started following her. And she wasn't afraid of me terribly, but she walked away from me. But
yeah.
She walked up over a hill. We got up to the top of the hill, and there's a buck with a herd of, I would guess, 30 females.
Yeah.
And he was not really happy to see me.
Oh, yeah.
And he started pawing the ground and snorting. And so I got out of there. I'm not good with picking up salamanders. I am definitely not good with arguing about the deer.
Turkeys have been known to do that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, during their breeding. And their breeding season is coming up. Actually,
really?
In some parts, it's already happening.
Huh. Now, do they make interesting calls when they're breeding? Or?
So the females, they'll pick a typical fight, bigger, stronger male. But the males, they'll battle each other and see who's the bigger and better male. And
sounds very familiar.
Yeah. And then once the dominant male won, then he'll gobble and gobble, and then the female, she's got to come up and she'll expect him, and he'll strut his stuff, and
they spread out their feathers like?
Oh yeah, they'll poof up. He'll have this weird dangling thing that's called a snood.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called a snood. Only the males have it.
It's not called a gobbler.
A wattle.
A
wattle is underneath their neck, okay. That extra skin. But you'll notice it's just that weird dangly thing.
Very handsome, I'm sure. I'd like to have one.
And then during the breeding season, that's when the male turkeys still have that red and white and blue face.
Now, we have a lot of turkey here in Ohio, don't we?
Yes, we do. We have a very good population. I think about over 500,000.
Now, if you go hunt a turkey, you know I'm not a hunter, so I've never gone to hunt a turkey. The only thing I got close to shooting when I did go hunting was my foot. So, but do wild turkey taste similar to store-bought turkey?
No, they taste.
I wouldn't think.
I mean, there's probably a similar taste, but no, it's definitely a lot more gamey taste.
Gamey, yeah. And now, that's one of the things I don't like about venison. I find venison gamey.
Yeah, when you cook it, you'll smell it.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not a big. The only thing I like that's venison is I do like venison jerky.
Oh, yeah.
But that's because it has lots of salt on it.
Oh, yeah. Deer jerky is pretty good.
It's bad for me. if you're a heart patient, you don't want to eat a whole lot of salt. Well, anyway, we've beaten that horse to a pulp. Now, in the owls, you were talking about the owls. Do people make owl
boxes.
Houses?
Yeah, you can.
Now, how do you find?
There's different designs online you
so
can
you
find.
So you go online and get that?
Or you can call the Ohio Division of Wildlife, and they might give you some recommendations.
Now, it depends on the size of the hole, doesn't it, what it attracts?
Well, size of the hole, obviously the size of the box.
Okay.
And then where you put it, how high you put it. Birds have all these certain requirements.
Huh.
A lot of people just think you just make a little birdhouse, and you throw it out, and you'll get all these birds. You
never.
No. If you're looking for something very particular, you really got to study habitat. You got to understand, what are they really looking for? Obviously, food, water, all those requirements.
Have you noticed the birdhouses down in Delaware State Park? They're all over the place. They're about 6 feet high, maybe 8 feet high. They have a fairly small hole. They look like what I used to build when I was a Boy Scout.
Okay.
What would they be trying to house?
So for those species, it would probably be, it sounds like, sometimes bluebirds. They'll put them on tall posts. Sometimes tree swallows, just depending on. I would have to look at the design, but
okay.
It sounds like bluebirds.
They're rectangular, and I'd say the hole in the front is about the size, diameter of the big part of my thumb.
Yeah. Okay.
So you think that might be a bluebird?
It sounds like it, for the most part.
Now, do we have Baltimore Orioles in this area?
Well, they migrate through.
Do they?
I have not heard any reports yet in Ohio. I've been hearing them down south. But hummingbirds are back.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Now, not in large numbers, but I've had some reports in Marion County.
Okay.
You could put your hummingbird feeders out.
I put it out about 2 weeks ago. I have to change the fluid.
Yes.
Because I guess it can make a them drunk.
It can, yeah.
Well, maybe they like that. I don't know.
But yeah, don't put the red food coloring. That's a big thing. Because,
that's what I read.
Unfortunately, you know, that number, was it number 40, red dye? You know, hummingbirds don't know when to stop. They'll just keep drinking. Now, the government puts a regulation on how much humans should intake that number 40 red dye. There's not enough evidence, but they think that dye is causing spots on their livers and might be thinning out the eggshell.
Oh,
and
that's true.
Kind of like the bald eagle situation back in the 60s.
Well, it's so simple. Why use that red stuff?
It's to attract...
Oh, really? They do see the color, then?
Oh, yeah. All birds can see color. So what it is some birds, like orioles, are attracted to oranges, and a lot of hummingbird species are attracted to red. But hummingbirds are also attracted to other colors other than just red. But I just tell people, 4 parts water, 1 part sugar, very simple recipe.
Yep.
And then I buy there's that Rule King, and I'm not promoting them, but I just only found that Rule King.
Yeah, I saw that check in your pocket.
That's right. It's a red glass, and it works just as well.
A red glass
feeder? Yeah, it works just as well.
Now, I have a plastic feeder, and I'm going to change it because... Yeah.
That works just as well.
Yeah, but for some reason or other... the robin that was making that nest on top of my light back, it likes to sit on my... Well, I have the hummingbird feeder attached to my TV antenna thing, and the robin sits on top of it and does his duty on that.
Oh, yeah, it does sound like you should move it.
I would assume that they don't really want to go where there's been other birds doing their duty.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure I move that. I'll do that today.
And something else to keep in mind, because I always get people who will say, I have a mean little hummingbird, and it's beating up all the other ones. They are very territorial, very aggressive, like we've talked about with other species. So I recommend get multiple feeders and spread it out.
Okay.
Because the problem is, when you're all put in all, like, next to your window, I know we're trying to get the good few.
Yeah.
But the problem is that hummingbird is like, that's mine. I'm going to beat you up. And I've even seen females, not just males, but females will even drive out males out.
Yeah, now my son has a vineyard out in California, and for some reason or other, it attracts dozens of hummingbirds at certain times of the year.
Yeah, they got more species of hummingbirds than do we do here in Ohio.
Well, we'll sit out in the back, and they'll hit each other.
Oh, yeah.
They're mad.
Oh, yeah, they'll dive bomb, won't they?
They're kind of fun to watch, but they have long beaks, and I would think that would hurt if they ram that through you.
They probably,
like a sword. I love the hummingbirds, but we only have, what, 2 species?
Well, we have one regular species, the ruby-throated, and then a rare visitor is the Rufus hummingbird.
Okay, Rufus.
Yeah, the Rufus.
I like the name. Oh, well, I will look for that.
But for the orioles you were talking about earlier, I would probably, in the next couple weeks or so, put out oranges. You can put up jelly. I mean, I have done it before, but the problem with jelly, it ferments really quick. Unfortunately, if you don't change it up, it can get harmful.
So how do you put the orange out? You slice it?
Yeah, just slice it.
It?
Yep. Yep.
Oh,
or there are actual feeders, there are Baltimore oriole feeders, and you can penetrate the orange half, but yeah, just put a nail. That's just as cheap.
A lot cheaper. I've never seen one in my yard.
Okay.
And I would really like to, and there are enough around that I may see one if I put an orange
on. You could try.
Attracted to smell, or are they attracted to color?
Color.
Okay.
Most birds do not have a sense of smell.
Oh.
Only vultures and condors and some gall species have a sense of smell.
And all they want to smell is rotten stuff.
Yes, that's right. And for the galls, it's for fish.
Yeah. Okay.
Other species of birds do not have a sense of smell or taste.
I didn't know that. That's kind of... Yeah. Maybe I'm a bird and I don't know. I don't have a very good sense of smell. My wife is always telling me, you don't smell that? You know, this time of the year, the farmers are all putting
out
smelly stuff.
Yep.
And she'll step out the front door and she'll, you can't smell that? No, I can't.
can't smell.
Oh, it's a blessing in disguise.
It is. Glenn. It is a blessing in disguise. Well, now, what are you? We're almost to the last 15 minutes.
All right.
And you've got some programs here that you're going to do. And let's. And also, one of the things I've been trying to remember to do is leave your phone number, especially with the COVID thing going on.
Yes.
Are you still having to?
As of right now, yeah. Okay. Now, I was told in June some restrictions could be lifted, so okay. When I'm coming here in the end of May, I'm hoping things could be different. Who knows?
Okay. Well, tell us what you got going. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So on May 4th, we'll be doing a spring wildflower hike at 5 p.m. at the Tallgrass Trail. We'll be starting at the DeCliff parking lot. Now, we will be traveling some. It will be roughly about a 5-mile hike both ways. I made a
10 miles?
No. It'll be 5 miles one way and 5 miles, or excuse me, 2.5 miles one way and then back. So
I can do 5 miles.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you saw on our social media page, I posted a video I created about the little wildflower patch by at mile 6.
I'll have to look it up.
Okay. Yeah, so that's where I want to take everybody. So I know it's a little hike, but it's definitely worth it. And our, you know, our spring ephemeral wildflowers are only out for a little bit, and once summer really hits, they'll be gone, and then our summer wildflowers will be out. On May 15th, our morning bird watching program, that will be at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve at 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's the one right across from the Kyoto Plains Wildlife Area.
Okay.
We'll be having a park trash pickup program at Tallgrass Trail, but we'll be starting at the Her Road parking lot, and that will be at 10 a.m.
Do you get all sorts of wild-looking trash?
Sometimes.
I bet you do.
But we'll be hiking probably 2.5-3 miles altogether.
Do you combine your trash pickup with some education about what they're looking at while they're walking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about anything we encounter. So, okay. And then we'll just make sure, too, if the recycling is still in good condition, we'll have a recycle pile and a trash pile.
Good.
So, now, we will provide bags. We're just asking if you provide your own gloves and definitely bring in water along. And then May 27th, we'll be back with you, Glenn.
Yes, and we'll be having a birthday party for me that day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'll have to bring a critter along for you to take home.
All right. Bring Sally back.
I should. So, yeah, we'll be from 10 to noon. And then May 29th will be our Fernal Pool program. That'll be at the Teradice Nature Preserve at 1 o'clock p.m.
Why is it called a fertile pool?
Fernal.
That's the ones that go away.
Go away.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
So please bring waterproof shoes, old clothes, because we'll talk about fernal pools, and then we will go into a fernal pool. So typically when you do these programs for the fernal pools, you usually do them about March or April, but May is when they start to dry up, and that's the reason why I like doing it, because that's a very crucial time, because that's when a lot of people think, well, they're just puddles. Oh, they're not important. Well, if we really dig down deep, you know, it's still full of life.
Okay, and wear boots, I would assume.
Yes. Bring boots or waterproof shoes, anything like that. So, as Glenn mentioned, as of right now, we still have to follow the health department guidelines. So, we only can have 9 participants. Please call us at our phone number, which is 740-223-4161.
We'll give that again when he's done, because people need to get their pencils.
Oh, yes,
go get your pencil and paper, and we'll give that number again a little bit later.
And then, of course, our social media accounts, Marion Tallgrass Trail, the Park District page, Instagram. And then please just keep in mind that programs can be canceled due to weather or other circumstances. So, again, that number, you got your pen and paper ready?
Yeah.
That's 740-223-4161. I'll do it one more time, 740-223-4161.
Have you ever had the opportunity to get anything put on dodo?
On dodo.
Well, they have a lot of stuff about critters that are endangered and that people are saving. You know, quite often they'll have a horse that's stuck.
I've seen those videos. No, I've never. I would love to be on that show.
Wouldn't
or
that
program.
Be fun?
Yeah.
Now, do you ever have to rescue critters?
Every once in a while, especially if they're at our parks, and depending on the critter, I'll take it to the Ohio Bird Sanctuary or Crow's Hollow in Richwood.
Is it dangerous to pick up, and I don't mean dangerous for you, but is it dangerous for the critter to pick animals up to help them out.
Yeah, it can. I mean, you know, that animal doesn't know you're there to help them.
Yeah.
I mean, they in their minds, you're a threat, you're a predator.
I would assume their first instinct is bite you or scratch you.
Yeah, or whatever they have on their bodies. Yeah, they'll try anything they can to get away.
Or squirt something that stinks.
Yeah, they could. They could. So, yeah, just always be mindful. And I'll definitely be talking about this next month, but, you know, our turtles will be coming out, and they'll be crossing the road. And that's usually about June time. But, you know, some of our turtles will start here soon, especially when they're trying to find their location to lay their eggs. You know, when we're trying to help them, you know, a lot of times they may hide, but, of course, when you get your snapping turtles, they're ready to fight. So just be cautious.
You know, can a snapping turtle, I've heard rumors that they can take your finger off.
So it's yes and no. So it is not the bite itself that it can do. So what it is, their beaks are very sharp, so it's like a knife. But when you get bit, what's the first human reaction you're going to do?
Pull back.
You're going to pull back. So as you're doing it, it's cutting.
I got you.
So that's what can cause, parts of fingers and toes to get removed.
So now, if you get bitten by one, don't pull.
Yeah.
But how do you get them off of you?
So the problem with snapping turtles and some other animals like donkeys, and I think German shepherds have
donkeys?
This. Yeah.
Okay.
Their jaws are special. They, in order to release, they have to go all the way down.
Oh.
And then they
kind of unhinge their own jaw.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, that could really hurt you. So I've had some fishermen who've got bitten before, or had someone with them that got bit, and they chopped the head off.
Oh, yikes.
So.
Do people eat snapping
turtle? Yeah, I've had turtle before.
Oh, really? Snapping turtle?
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of clam.
Chicken.
Clam chowder, actually.
Oh,
It had that kind of texture, kind of taste to it, but kind of fishy, more fishy than clam.
Okay. I'm not a big fish eater, but I do like clams.
But frogs? Oh, yeah. I love eating frogs.
Poor frogs. You know, they have that at one of the Chinese restaurants here in town. They'll have frog out. I look at it, and I'm terrible about that sort of thing. It makes me feel sad.
Now, that tastes completely different from what you catch in the wild.
It tastes just like chicken.
Yeah, it tastes like chicken. Just put a little butter, a little Mrs. Dash. It's pretty good.
Oh, gosh. My wife and I, we will watch people cooking shows.
Yeah.
And my wife gets very upset when they call it a table chicken. That means it's a chicken that they're going to cut the head off and put on your table.
Oh, yeah.
And so she doesn't like to hear that. I don't either, but I don't know. If I didn't love meat so much, I would be a vegetarian. But unfortunately, I do love meat. And I just try not to think about the fact that where they get the meat from.
Yeah. The process, yeah.
Yes. Now, do you do a lot of fishing?
Yeah, I mean, I do some, yeah.
Now, I really like panfish.
Oh, yeah.
My wife cooks them. They're so much milder. And so I assume you have a lot of bluegill and panfish type things out there in the...
We do. We have green sunfish. We have red ear sunfish. We got crappies, got black and white crappies, and then I know they're not panfish, but we got the bass. We got smallmouth and largemouth bass.
I would prefer to have the little crappies and the little bluegill than to have a bass. I guess the bass tastes a little bit more fishy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a big fishy eater, much like I'm not a big fan of picking Sally up. But it took me forever to learn how to pick up a fish, and that my grandfather was a terrific fisherman.
Oh yeah.
And he always made fun of me because I was afraid of fish. So he taught me how to put the fish between my knees to unhook them.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't mind if they were in between my blue jeans, but I didn't do it if I was in shorts. But I've learned. I can now take a bluegill off a hook if I have to.
Well, that's good.
I am such a wuss. Anyway, I assume you're starting to get more activity on the trail now.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Now, you do allow people to bike on it? You allow them on skateboards?
Yeah, yep. Okay. Any non-motorized. The only motorized we allow is motorized wheelchairs.
Okay.
But yeah, we've had skateboarders, we have rollerbladers. Out at the lake, we've had windsurfers, we've had paddleboards.
You've had windsurfers?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I saw one.
Yeah.
With the kite.
Yeah.
Somebody flying a kite while they're surfing.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't think that they would have enough wind out there.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty open, so yeah, they get some good speed.
Yeah. Well, there are windmills out there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paddleboards, we've seen paddleboards out, so.
Now, what are the rules? Do they have to be registered on your lake?
So when it comes for the canoes and kayaks, yes.
Okay.
Now, paddleboards, I am not sure. That you would have to call the ODNR, and you would have to ask those questions.
There are certain, like, kayaks that you don't have to, if they're like one man or something.
I'm not 100% sure about those laws. So.
You and I don't look like kayakers.
Yeah. while we're talking about that, that's an activity that definitely increases fishing, you know, out the lake. Just make sure you're 16 or older.
Now, if they want to come and kayak or boat of any sort, do they go? Is there a place there off of Her Road?
Yeah, we have a parking lot there.
Oh, there is one. There's a parking lot there.
Yes, and then hopefully, I want to say at the end, probably the mid to end of next month, we'll have another Port-a-John restroom.
Okay, that's always good.
Yeah, for the temporary season from about May to October-ish.
Okay, now how do you get to the parking area off of Her Road?
So if you're coming from the trailhead, two ways. You can take either 95 or 309.
Yeah.
And then you can catch Her Road right there. And then
is there a turnoff there?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I'm going to have to go out and take a look.
Yeah, so, and I recommend that to people. If you didn't want to hike a half mile down the lake, yeah, you can park at the parking lot.
Yeah, it would be kind of uncomfortable to carry your kayak or canoe all the way down the trail.
I've had people that have done that before.
Oh, my.
Some people were willing to do it, and other people, by the time they got to the car, I told them, they're like, oh, I wish I knew that.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Well, we've had a great day today.
Oh, we have.
And Sally is still alive and doing well, I assume.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Oh, I think he's peachy and hopefully ready for his new home. Yeah, I think he is sleeping a little bit.
All right. Yeah, we've had James Anderson on. James is our naturalist for Marion County. You've been listening to me. I'm Glenn Coble, and this show is called On the Air. And we'll have James back, I believe, in about 4 weeks, right?
Yep.
The 27th of May.
Yep.
What a wonderful day. Don't forget to bring the presents.
Oh, yes.
They better not be alive, though.
All right, I'll try not.
All right, well, we will we'll talk with James in a month, and we will have more critters and more stuff. Are there mushrooms that are out now?
The morels.
Okay, so
summer oysters will be coming out here soon. So.
Okay. Make sure you know what you're doing when you go
absolutely.
Out. Yeah, I don't want to kill somebody just because they heard us saying morels are out. And
do your research.
Yeah, don't get the morel that is solid up through the middle, right? That's the bad one.
The false morel.
All right. Well, we will be back here next month with James Anderson, and I'm Glenn Coble. I will come back on the air here at 12:15, and we'll do Swap Shop, which has gotten bigger and bigger. Thanks for tuning us in. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.
No, well, you also did.